Welcome to the Bob Bloom Show with your host, Bob Bloom, a production of South LaSalle. Welcome to episode 14 of the Bob Bloom Show, Peak, PHP Monolith, and the Rise of the Lambda Reseller. Today is Monday, May 1st, 2023. The Bob Bloom Show is my monthly commentary podcast devoted to PHP published on the first of the month. My main focus is pairing PHP with serverless platforms. This is your podcast host, Bob Bloom. I do think that we are in the midst of peak PHP monolith. This is a long-term thing. I think that a long-term trend of the rise of the Lambda reseller is going to contribute to our peak PHP monolith. I thought vendors reselling Lambda was a passing fancy, or something that just had built-in constraints that would limit widespread growth. I changed my mind in an instant, in the middle of my presentation to my local PHP Toronto meetup group. I have been harboring this silent thought that we are in the midst of peak PHP monolith, that mainstream PHP development is going to slowly inch its way out of the monolith. Keeping this little opinion to myself seemed prudent, as monolithic development is so dominant and so entrenched. It's enough for me to be beating the drums that serverless is a literal term. Serverless. There is no server. But, well, I was watching a video about Lambda, and that turned on a switch. So here I am sharing my silent thought of peak PHP monolith with you. The March 2023 PHP Architect magazine's editorial, titled Share to Learn, starts with, "We go to presentations, conferences, online videos to learn from people that are sharing their ideas." But what happens behind the scenes? The people sharing those ideas learned along the way. Every single time that I've ever presented from my user group, so says the author, has forced me to dive deeper into the topic before sharing. That deep dive is called learning. I've learned about new things just because I wanted to share information that I already knew. In April's GTA PHP meetup, aka Toronto PHP, aka Greater Toronto Area PHP, I presented Bref, bref.sh, as it recently released version 2.0. I did not learn new things about Bref. I had already done that deep dive, in part, for my second PHP Serverless News podcast episode. What I did get out of the presentation is affirmation. Affirmation that, yes, it's confusing, and it's complicated. I mean, ultimately, there really is this one single actual line of PHP code for Lambda to process, echo hello world. But to get that processing done is a plethora, a myriad, a veritable smorgasbord of stuff, like Bref, Composer, Serverless Framework, CloudFormation, CLI, etc. In the midst of that presentation, I thought it would be really good if I had thought ahead and done a custom PHP runtime so that I could just do hello world in the console. But my focus was not on demonstrating Lambda. My focus was on Bref. But I thought during the presentation, even though I am not going to maintain PHP runtimes as part of my PHP serverless project, I should make one exception and do a runtime for one region, like US East 1, that'll work for a hello world, for hello world in the Lambda console. The problem with the Bref runtimes is that Bref runtimes need the Bref software, which leads into the whole rigmarole of using the serverless framework and all the other stuff. So I'm really thinking about doing that. At the same time, I vividly recall that in the middle of my presentation, I felt a wall of regret, if that's how to describe it, that I endeavored to do that presentation. I don't think the audience fit the presentation. The material is just too complete. I'm sorry, too complicated, too involved. It's not like I was doing a conference talk in a serverless track. This is a very casual meetup, a very casual audience. And I should have presented something else. The irony is that I was emphasizing tips and tricks to save time and aggravation, but the whole thing seemed to be aggravating. At the same time, I felt regret doing the presentation. During the presentation, I thought, yeah, this is so involved. You know, a reseller could do well. I plan on getting into Lambda Resellers in my PHP Serverless News podcast, but suffice to say for right now that a third party could do, and I say this ironically, an easy implementation of Lambda for a defined use case. For third parties, building their own serverless, or to be more precise, their own compute service is not feasible, but using Lambda in the back end makes sense, especially, I presume, they can get wholesale rates for Lambda. I was listening to a video AWS produced about Lambda from a reInvent 2022 session, which I'll get into it more shortly. They used the word latency a lot. Imagine that one of their concerns is being able to handle Lambda traffic from third-party resellers. I got the impression, and it could be my own imagination, that AWS's goal with Lambda is to be instant. The talk, which seemed to be a talk within a talk, about the new Lambda snap start was very interesting. I think the rise of the Lambda reseller is a long-term trend, and I do have the presentation to thank for that epiphany. When I first used the Laravel Framework's event and listener feature, I thought it was great in concept, but a pain to set up. And that is something I have not shared with the world until now. So that's two things. Why share that experience now? Because there was something about watching that video from the reInvent that triggered this memory. And it did so in a way that made me wonder yet again, are we living in a period of peak PHP monolith? The video explains that there are not one but two separate and distinct eternal ways that Amazon invokes Lambda. I don't know exactly what, but watching that part of the video triggered the experience I had with Laravel's event feature like half a decade ago. The video I watched was the AWS reInvent 2022 session, a closer look at AWS Lambda SVS 404-R. I assumed that there was just a single internal mechanism for invoking Lambda. Since a Lambda can't be invoked externally anyways, as far as I know, all Lambda invocations are made internally. You know, it's all the same, right? All the same to Lambda. Not quite. There are two separate and distinct internal mechanisms for invoking Lambda. Synchronous and asynchronous invocations. For synchronous invocations, the Amazon service triggering Lambda waits for Lambda to return to a response to it. A response that is specified by the customer who developed the Lambda. For asynchronous invocations, the Amazon service triggering Lambda does not wait for Lambda to return a response. Lambda does return a response, but it's Amazon defined as a status. Lambda uses the internal front-end invoke service for synchronous invocations. For asynchronous invocations, Lambda uses the internal event invoke front-end service. And an example that AWS likes to use is automatically creating a thumbnail when an image is uploaded to S3. To do the thumbnail, you have S3 trigger a Lambda when an image is uploaded. S3 doesn't care about how the thumbnail is created, when it's created, or really whatever Lambda is really doing. All S3 cares about is that it told Lambda that an image was uploaded. An image is uploaded. S3 tells Lambda. The event invoke front-end service quarterbacks the invoke. The invoke is tossed into a queue. The queue eventually triggers the front-end invoke service, and the thumbnail is created and uploaded to S3, preferably in a thumbnail bucket. These are two separate and distinct internal services. The event service sends the invocation to a queue, which in turn, get this, triggers the front-end invoke service to launch the Lambda. The event service does not actually invoke the Lambda. The Lambda is ultimately invoked the same way as usual, synchronously using the front-end invoke service. So I'm kind of correct. A Lambda is not invoked externally. A Lambda is invoked by another Amazon service. So service is a service is a service. And ultimately, a Lambda is invoked synchronously. On the other hand, for asynchronous invokes, where the calling Amazon service is not waiting for Lambda's response, there is an intermediate service that first receives the invocation but does not execute it. Instead, it puts the Lambda invocation request, if I can call it that, on an SQS queue, which in turn invokes Lambda via the synchronous front-end invoke service. Given that this video is available for public viewing on YouTube, playing a bit of audio from it should be okay. I want to kind of paraphrase it first before playing it. So the paraphrase, let's talk about asynchronous invokes, or what is called event invokes, the event invoke front-end service. For the synchronous invoke, there is the front-end invoke service. They have slightly similar names, but they are definitely different. The load balancers receiving the invoke are the same for synchronous and asynchronous Lambda invocations. These load balancers know when an event is invoking Lambda. When an event is invoking Lambda, the load balancers will call the event invoke front-end service.
So let's switch to talking about asynchronous invokes, or what is called event invokes. And you can see here we have the event invoke front-end service. For the sync invoke, we had a front-end invoke service. Slightly similar names, but they're definitely different. Well, the event invoke front-end service sits behind the same front-end load balancers as before, but the load balancers see that it's an event invoke and so send it to the event invoke front-end service rather than the front-end invoke service. And we actually deliberately separated these services, building a new data plane to ensure that an async invoke path was separate to the sync invoke path to protect against a large amount of event invokes, potentially causing latency with the sync invoke path.
This is good to know, in part because an asynchronous Lambda does not return a response. Knowing the internal mechanism of how this is so is very good to know. I did a PHP Lambda to be triggered by an S3 event, an event that the Lambda sends me an email. That way, I know that the Lambda was triggered and I can send things in the email. And I know that the Bootstrap works. I set it up so that I could play with it later this month. Also, as an aside, funny enough, but in playing around with custom PHP Lambda runtimes, I'm accumulating a lot of little repos and code. And I don't think I'm so crazy worrying about how to manage it. How do you manage a lot of little repos for Lambda? Juxtapositioned with all of this is my ongoing poking away at the AWS Serverless Presso app, a real app that AWS developed to serve coffee at the trade shows. On a typical day, at a typical trade show, the coffee booth serves 1,000 cups of coffee. All done through the serverless Presso app. This app is event-driven, and it's been quite educational looking into the app. It's one thing to read about the event-driven architecture. It's another to see it in action. Well, AWS sure uses the word event a lot. The repeated use of the word event lodged something in my head. about my initial reaction to using the Laravel Framework's event and listener feature. An absolutely wonderful thing, just did not enjoy the coding. The Laravel Events doc says, in its introduction, events serve as a great way to decouple various aspects of your application, since a single event can have multiple listeners that do not depend on each other. For example, you may wish to send a Slack notification to your user each time an order has shipped. Instead of coupling your order processing code to your Slack notification code, you can raise an event or dispatch an event which a listener can receive and use to then do a Slack notification. AWS says that the event-driven architecture uses events to trigger and communicate between decoupled services. I am very happy that AWS and Laravel use a common word, decouple. I think what I'm getting my head around is that with serverless event driven architecture with the serverless Presto app using Lambda, each individual Lambda is its own thing. It's independent. It's on its own, like I guess its own repo, its own existence. It doesn't exist in the monolith of the Laravel app. In the Laravel app, the doc says, create an events folder and a listener folder. And that just doesn't happen with this event-driven architecture using Lambda. What appealed to me about Laravel's events is the option of getting code to run outside of the request. To me, the mechanism to make it happen, it's just a shoehorning way of doing things in a framework that's not really built to do that sort of thing. That's how I see it. Laravel started as an MVC framework, request in, response out, request in, route the request to a controller, do something with the data, display the view, in, out. And now we have, they have a fire discrete task to a queue to be executed independently of the request cycle. It's fantastic, but, you know, everything in the kitchen sink. And in my opinion, my impression was there just seemed to be a lot of plumbing to get it to do it, to set it up. And that's the nexus, I think, of what I'm seeing, what I think is happening. And it's going to be slow, but I think there's going to be a move. And I think that platforms are going to evolve in a way to make it easier and more worthwhile for PHP devs to be just less monolithic. Sort of like the AWS event-driven architecture. But I have a feeling that it could be the third-party resellers or independent platforms, and I'm on the lookout for these platforms. Specifically, my PHP Serverless News podcast, I'm really on the lookout. I've got that podcast to report it. I'm on the lookout for platforms that do this. I want to see who's doing this before it catches on. I think that the serverless platforms are going to lead the way. I think they're going to lead the way regardless of whether, you know, such vendors are principals with their own serverless, you know, compute services, or they're resellers. And of course, all the way using PHP and yes, using Laravel. I think maybe by Composer installing specific packages of the nearly three dozen packages that comprise Illuminate repository and the framework. Thank you for listening to the 14th episode of my Bob Bloom Show, Peak, PHP Monolith, and the Rise of the Lambda Reseller. My next podcast episode is scheduled for June 1st, 2023. You have been listening to a South LaSalle production. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of South LaSalle, Bob Bloom, nor of the organizations represented. Links and materials discussed on air are available in the show notes for this show. Information contained herein have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but are not guaranteed. Podcasts are released under copyright. Rights are reserved. Email correspondence to the attention of Bob Bloom at bob.bloom@lasallesoftware.ca.